we have slightly different approach. Instead of going to very big cells and constant Prandtl number, we switch to rather small cells, cell of the height less than 10 centimeters, and working close to gas liquid critical point. And I will explain what is the reason. And in this case, we can reach higher Rayleigh number, but for different Prandtl number, and Prandtl number will change drastically near the critical point, as you can understand. And the experiment has been done by Shai Ashkenazi, who graduated already a couple years ago, actually 3 years ago, at Weizmann Institute. And therefore, the main topic and the main idea is to perform in this case both simultaneous measurements of temperature and velocity, and then I will explain how we can measure velocity in this case, and scaling with Prandtl number, because we can change Prandtl number in very wide range, and to check behavior at large Rayleigh number. Now the cell looks like following. We have pressure vessel. We work with SF6. We have pressure vessel, which is located inside of water bath. And inside of this pressure vessel, we have gas. And inside of this gas, we have our cell with bottom plate and top plate. And it's clear that since we have a little bit gas outside, because we fill this with insulating material, but still we have a little bit of gas, we cannot perform very precise absolute measurements of Nusselt number. But by changing Prandtl number, by changing average temperature, we can measure the Prandtl number dependence for all this Nusselt Rayleigh measurement. And actually, the gas that we have outside is very little, and we measure below the convection, adiabatic convection threshold, we measure conductivity, but still it's not good absolute measurement. Therefore, I will not insist on absolute measurement, but on Prandtl dependence. Now, the property of this convection near the critical point, we measured quite many years ago, 7, 8 years ago, and what I showed here is critical temperature difference as function of average temperature, reduced average temperature. Therefore, we change average temperature and going closer to critical point. And then we can hear this is point for critical density. And you can see that critical temperature difference for onset of convection going down very, very fast. And that's going down with exponent about 1.89. And that means that if we're going closer and closer to critical point, the critical temperature difference going almost to zero. And it means that for small temperature difference, we can get already very high Rayleigh number. Therefore, it's another way to change Rayleigh number, to change the closeness to critical point. In the same time, of course, the Prandtl number will change. And that's the Prandtl number as function of reduced the average reduced temperature in the cell, and you can see that Prandtl number also change, and change in our case when we're working from about 4 × 10⁻²⁷ up to 3 × 10⁻⁴, the Prandtl number change several hundred times, actually from about 4 till several hundred, 400. In the same time, also non-Boussinesq coefficient change. And we measure this dependence in our case, in case of convection, which we took data only with non-Boussinesq parameter defined by suggestions that Lipschaber group made by taking up and down differences in the cell, not above 0.7, below 0.7. In this case, influence of, on Nusselt, Nusselt measurements is still not significant. It's non-Boussinesq parameter. No, it's not according to Euler. It's a non-Boussinesq parameter defined by Boussinesq. It's usual. It's by Boussinesq. No, I said that we defined in our experiment for Rayleigh for Nusselt number measurements, we defined according to Lipschaber, we measure temperature in the center, temperature on the top, temperature in the bottom, and all data with this ratio, which is below 0.7, we didn't take into account. That's actually, that's what's suggested by Lipschaber, and we use this the same. Okay. Therefore, we used the cell which we used was 104 millimeter high, 76 millimeter on the side, it's square on the side. We used on not in every measurement, some measurements we used two thermistors in the center and about quarter on the side, and one thermistor in the center to measure temperature. And we used laser Doppler velocimetry. Most of data shown here, quarter in the center and quarter from the height from the bottom plate. And we measure both vertical and horizontal component of this velocity component. And I will explain how we made these measurements. Therefore, all data that we measure near the critical point located for Prandtl number from about 8 here shown, but we have also 4, up to several hundred, as I told you, and Rayleigh number, which from 10.10 till 5 and 10.14. But Prandtl number changes each time. Each time we have about between 2 and 3 orders of magnitude in Rayleigh number for more or less constant Prandtl number. Now, with this measurements near critical point, of course, there are questions which didn't appear in usual convection when you measure in water or in helium far away from critical point, and that's problems of influence of gravitational field, compressibility, non-Boussinesq I already mentioned, and influence of convection or flow on critical point itself. And all these points we actually checked. And for now, gravitational effect, it can be significant. And that gravitational effect, if we have, will take full cell of 10 centimeter cell. And we're going as close as 10 minus 3 in reduced temperature, which is not very close. And it's about average range that we use. The gravitational effect may be, gravitational effect is pressure, density difference across the cell divided on the density. It can be as high as 0.1% and can be per centimeter, and it can be significant. But we should take into account that in principle, since we have rather strong convection, we should not take into, we should take whole thickness of the cell, but only viscous boundary layer, and then 0.1 centimeter, and it's reduced to gravitational effect, which is not very big, and that's what we're working. Now, compressibility, it's two types we should take into account. We should define, first of all, Mach number, and that's actually what defines the compressibility, and Mach number is very small because the velocity that we have about 1 centimeter at maximum, maybe a couple centimeters, but the minimum velocity that we attained was above 50 meters per second, in spite of the velocity, adiabatic velocity going to zero, but not in the range of closeness to to critical temperatures that we're working. The square of Mach number will be below 10 minus 7, which is very small. On the other hand, we have increasing compressibility, for example, at 3 on 10 minus 4, the increasing compressibility in the rho dp is rather high, and maybe at least 2-3 orders of magnitude increase. For this type of compressibility, therefore it's compressible fluid, can influence on convection, but we don't know actually what is the influence of this compressibility on convection. In higher Rayleigh number convection, nobody checks this. For onset of convection, it's more or less known, but for higher Rayleigh number convection, it's not known. For this question, this problem with real compressibility, I don't know. Now, non-Businesska explained that we took all data for x above 0.7. And now about suppression of PC, there is old theory by Ritz and Nelson, and then data about Goldberg, the telling that by flow you can suppress the fluctuation, and it means that somehow you can suppress the temperature, the critical temperature. And we made measurements in the flow. Sorry. What point?
Even if one layer is more,
yes.
Anyway, you have different properties at the top and at the bottom, and so the characteristic length is always the size of the cell.
You mean?
You have different density at the top and at the bottom, so the properties of the fluid can be different at the top and at the bottom.
Yes, the boundary layer on top and bottom can be different.
Yeah.
It's right. It's right. But in what I want to emphasize that locally you should take into account the characteristic mixing length, which about the characteristic of the boundary layer. That's it. Now, about last point, that's what I want to show. We measure the method of how we define the critical temperature in the presence of convection, that we measure the critical point by minimum by measuring temperature difference across the cell by changing both first pressure and then temperature and find the minimum for this point. And that's how we define critical temperature and critical pressure in the flow. We apply constant heat flux, about 1 watt, and then we measure the temperature difference in the cell by changing pressure at fixed temperature. And then by taking this pressure, we change temperature closeness to critical point and once more measure the temperature difference. Now, these critical parameters, for example, temperature is different from temperature measured in equilibrium by less than 10 mK. And it means that with our precision, it's good enough to have the temperature, critical temperature that we measure by this or by equilibrium condition. It's, here, you know, it's two-phase region. And in two-phase region, I don't know, maybe some. Yeah, here's the temperature. Okay. Now, the main point and main advantage of the system that we can measure velocity by using LDV technique. And in usual convection, the density difference and fluctuation of density so big that crossing of two beams change when you have convection due to temperature fluctuation and density fluctuation and that actually makes signal for LDV signal very noisy. It's impossible to measure velocity by LDV measurements in usual convection. In case of critical points, the fluctuation of density is very small, fluctuation of temperature also very small, and it was possible to measure, to get signal. The problem is to put seeding particles in the SF6, and we didn't succeed that. But then we realized that we don't need the seeding particles, and we can measure laser Doppler velocimetry to make on density fluctuation. And that's actually the idea. The,
what you're saying is the density fluctuations near the critical point make the density fluctuations very small so the laser beams can go through the fluid.
Yes.
But you still have enough density fluctuations for there to be diffraction off of them to make velocity measurements. So there's some very delicate balance.
Yes, and this delicate balance, we can measure temperature, we can measure velocity only in the range of reduced temperature between 10 minus 2 and 10 minus 4. But it's good enough, yes. Yes. Okay. But in middle of cell. Yes, but
that's
right. That's right. Yes, that's right.
And what are you refracting off of? Density, temperature?
No, no, then in water you can put particles.
Oh,
then,
particles, right.
Yeah, then standard. Yes. No, no.
Here he's using the density difference.
Yes.
Oh, well, everyone does it.
No, no, but if... Yes. That's right. That's right. That's right. No, 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 no. Okay. But for the measuring technique of LDV is the same standard measurement. Therefore, we have cross beams, this volume. The volume itself, it's 100 micron and 100 micron, and length about millimeter. And then we use frequency tracker and taking data to PC, we can make spectra. We change slightly this measuring scheme, and I will tell later on about this. But I will tell. That's yeah. Therefore, the measurement that we made, the signal itself is rather nice, and that's the signal taken from PMT, from photomultiplier, and you can see that on the length of about several hundred microseconds, signal is very nice and possible to get good data. And indeed, the power spectra, that's the velocity as function of time, and power spectra looks very nice. And we have this peak, which is, I ask for, it's for large scale flow and some scaling power law. But no, it's not in the center. It's at almost all measurements we made quarter from the height. No, no, it's not from the center. Sorry? Error bar on these measurements, not here. On power spectra, it's inside of this. It's about 10 million points, and that's inside of this point.
Of that time
series, but much longer. It's 10 hours, 10 million points.
So if it's an inside point, everything you take is in all million dollars.
Sorry?
If it is inside the point, everything
here, this peak. No, I don't know. Yes, I don't know what happens in flow. That's what I don't know. No, this one is good one because I know this from other measurements, and I will show you measurements also a peak in velocity in temperature spectra.
What are the value points?
This what is it?
No, no. That seems to me that there is only 3 points.
This 3 points? No, it's not 3 points because we have 10 hours measurement, and you can see that it's only a point.
But the power, right? That's the power spectrum, okay? That's not the horizontal, that's the power spectrum. That's well the power spectrum.
It's power spectrum, yeah.
So you have a little more than 20
degrees. Okay? Yes. That's what I want to tell you. Why we have actually a small range. And this is not... it's not the we cannot get to dissipation range, and the reason that this noise it's caused by thermal density fluctuation, and that's what I will speak about. Actually, the main point is here: what we measure and how we measure. Now, yes, yes. That's what I was speaking about. Okay. Therefore, you can see that this noise is rather high, and what is important, this noise depends on closeness to critical point, and that's what we check. And this noise going down by approaching critical point. And that was for us first surprising, and we decided to investigate why this noise going down. Everybody would expect first on first sight that it should go up if you're going close to critical point. And this part on source of the noise, the thermal density fluctuation, and this critical behavior of correlation function of phase time derivative of the scattered light near TC in equilibrium. This part was made in collaboration with Shai Ashkenazi, Sergei Lukashuk, Vladimir Lebedev, and it will be published. And that's first we decided to investigate this in equilibrium condition. If we have equilibrium small cell, first we made in the same cell that made the measurements of phase, and then we switch to small cell. What is the difference between light scattering that people made for many years, and it's everything actually known in this case, near the critical point? People measure with one beam configuration. It means that they measure or amplitude or intensity. And that's the peak of intensity give information about susceptibility, and line width gives information about thermal diffusivity. And that was measured, for example, for SF6. It's very well known. And in the 70s, was get about the critical indices that describe the line width. And we repeated the same experiment now with two-beam configuration. Two-beam configuration gives us possibility to measure not only amplitude, but also the phase. Of course, to measure phase, we should change slightly electronics, and we measure with locking. And from locking, we can get both amplitude and phase. And we can, first, we decided to check what will be the index that we can get from intensity. Therefore, this intensity for three different temperatures, you can see this intensity can be fitted by Lorentzian very well. And then from Lorentzian fit, we get information about the behavior of Lorentzian width as function of temperature, and the data that we obtain in full range that we have, it's about 10⁻⁴ and slightly above 10⁻². It's full range, and you can see that in log plots it should be. Actually, if it's one power behavior, it should be one curve. It's one power law. But there is here and here some saturation. And that's result of stray light. The problem now that usually with one beam configuration, we can avoid rather well the all straight light that we can get from scattering from different windows. Now, in two beam configuration, it's much more difficult to do. And the problem that you measure only in forward direction, slightly above, in order to avoid scatter light from direct forward direction. But still, you have some scattered light which is difficult to avoid, and which doesn't depend actually on closeness to critical point. Therefore, we have this saturation. If we take only one, we in smaller region, we have rather close power law to the power law which was obtained by different people, and it was actually summarized for SF6 in 73 by Sweeney and Henry, and power law was about 0.62. Therefore, in this reduced temperature range, we have rather good power law for this intensity, which is test for us first to understand what happens with phase-phase correlation function. Actually, what we need, it's phase correlation function for phase-time derivative, because phase-time derivative gives information about frequency, and frequency, that's what we need to measure velocity and to see the behavior of the noise level in this power spectra. Yes? Do you have a question? No, I want to finish this, and then I will
ask you. What's that
question? Yes. Okay. Therefore, that's about the intensity. Now, the next question, what will happen with correlation function for phase? Therefore, that's phase-phase correlation function. And frequency here, this you can see that phase phase correlation function has power law, and power law it's minus two. Therefore, if we'll take this from the same data, we take the correlation function for time derivative of phase, then it will be rather flat up to 10 hertz, and that means that it's random noise. Now, what we need behavior of this amplitude or RMS as function of temperature. And first, I would like to show you that I showed you power spectra, and this corresponding correlation function has delta function behavior, and this delta function has widths which correspond to the instrumental noise. Therefore, that's the data, and the corresponding data for the index or behavior of amplitude of this power spectra for correlation function of phase derivative, that's in full range, and that's in range where we have full intensity, we have one power law behavior. And you can see that the power law is rather close, it's not exactly the same, it should be twice, because here I took only square root of this. Therefore, it should be twice, it means instead of 0.62, it's 0.57. But it's rather close to the power behavior. The problem that is in critical behavior of correlation function for phase derivative, it's much more difficult to get the data. The scatter is bigger. But the point, actually, what I want to emphasize, that the critical behavior of this amplitude of phase of correlation function for phase derivative is rather close to critical behavior of thermodiffusivity. And that theory made by Vladimir Lebedev for this behavior of correlation function of time derivative of phase, and that's the prediction that actually the amplitude of this will behave more or less like thermal diffusivity. Therefore, thermal diffusivity will define the critical behavior of this function. Therefore, that's the point. Therefore, if you're going closer to critical point, this amplitude of this phase time derivative of phase correlation function will go down, and in dynamical range for our measurements of velocity will increase. And that's exactly what we observe. Therefore, that's what's coming out from equilibrium measurements in order to explain why we observe actually rather good dynamical range when we're going closer to critical point, and closer to critical point we observe up to three orders of magnitude dynamical range. Now, by measuring velocity, mean velocity, give us information about behavior of mean velocity as function of temperature difference or Rayleigh number, and we observe this that velocity started at some finite temperature difference, and this finite temperature difference, which is about 10 millikelvin, it's a adiabatic gradient. If we measure, we can measure this adiabatic gradient as function. Adiabatic gradient was already discussed here, but I will repeat this. It's adiabatic gradient is a result of compressibility, and near critical point, this adiabatic gradient going to constant, and this constant in case of SF6, it's about 1 millikelvin per centimeter. So we have about 10 centimeter cells, therefore it's about 10 millikelvin, and that's rather comparable with temperature difference that we use in order to measure convection or Nusselt number behavior and convection, and the maximum temperature difference we used up to 200 millik, so it's rather significant part. And here you can see that temperature difference constant near critical point, these estimates, and our measurements give us the estimate for SF6, give us 9.5 millikelvin, and that's exactly what we measure, 9.5. I will show you data. And we can correct our velocity measurements as well as measurements near of Nusselt number by this Nusselt, for these measurements due to without taking into account adiabatic gradient, and here with adiabatic gradient. The same we can do for Nusselt number, and for Nusselt number, for example, one of the data for Nusselt number prime from Prandtl 27, you can see this without taking into account adiabatic gradient, and this with taking into account adiabatic gradient. And okay. Sorry? It's Nusselt, yes, yes, at constant Prandtl. That's Nusselt data at constant Prandtl. If delta t is very small, then it's here it's already, yes, but the changing in Prandtl number, you can see here it's 10 millik, about 9.5 millik. Here the changing up to 90 millik, and Prandtl 97, it's 10 minus 3, it's even more, 5 on 10 minus 3. Therefore, it's rather close, it's big difference. It's a constant in the range of several percent. Now, therefore, the adiabatic gradient we can take into account. Now, back to measurements of velocity. Therefore, that's once more the same spectra, and we can take this peak. Okay, you can tell that maybe not this peak, but we can take this peak. You know, we have actually the measurements now, in order to show that actually in power spectra of temperature measurements, we have also these peaks. You know, all these peaks is for different power spectra of temperature in linear presentation. In linear presentation, all these peaks give the same result in temperature. No, it's measured quarter from the bottom plate, temperature not, temperature on the side, quarter from the side. Yes, yes, different.
What are all these different terms here?
It's different Nusselt number, different Rayleigh number.
Different Rayleigh number.
Yes.
So you're saying there's a peak in the temperature power
spectrum? Yes, 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 yes. Okay, therefore all this data for velocity measurement by peak that I showed you, that gives you this scaling, and this scaling actually it's, but Prandtl 0.775 if you take into account Reynolds number here, it's not exact. If it's Reynolds number, it will be 0.75 and Rayleigh 0.43. That's what we measure. Now we measure velocity field. Of course, it's only at one point, but we measure. Now we measure on one line, on this line and vertical line, and then we can tell with contained maximum, and from maximum we can reproduce the better this data, of course. Then we can measure the large-scale flow and fluctuation separately. But anyway, that's what we have for data. Therefore, to complete about the scaling behavior of global quantities, that's what we obtain. Therefore, we obtain Reynolds number, Prandtl minus 0.75, and Rayleigh 0.43. For Nusselt number, that's what we get. It's 0.3 plus minus 0.01, and Prandtl minus 0.2. I will show this data, but once more, this data. That's all data collected for measurements. Here included two measurements that we made in gas in SF6 at two pressure, 20 atmospheres and 50 atmospheres, but all the rest is near critical point. And that all data can be approximated by this fit. The problem of part of this here, it's already deviation due to non-Bessonnes, but it's for higher Prandtl number. And you can see, of course, this error bars are rather large, but that's the result of measurements in different Prandtl number. And for each Prandtl number, as I show you, the range is about 3 orders of magnitude, not more. Yes? Yes. No, the problem is the following. With Prandtl 1 and 1.5 measured in different cells, different condition, and that's what we measure first. And then we put this data together with this data. In order to do that, and since we don't have good absolute measurements, we shifted curve in absolute measurements, not in the in this direction. But exponent?
Prefactor.
This prefactor. Prefactor. Or prefactor or exponent? Okay. Possible. Possible. Yes, I agree, yeah. It's assume of one, I assume that it's one exponent for Rayleigh, and I check actually Prandtl dependent, that's it.
What is your estimate of the uncertainty of that -12.2?
Here. Yes. I showed before, it's 0.03 or 0.04, yes. Okay, now we measure much better this. We are doing now these measurements much more precisely. Now, since I don't have a lot of time, I switch now to power spectra, and that's I show you one of the presentation of power spectra. Now, Prandtl 190 is rather high, and you can see that there is very long range of power law for power spectra. And it's rather unexpected, and power spectra shows a scaling law which is rather close to the Valjana-Obuchov. And, yes?
We don't have the same
noise. Sorry?
You showed us the precise measurement of the noise.
Yes, it's noise. Now it's reduced because...
The high frequency noise.
Yes.
High frequency noise?
High frequency noise.
The plateau at high frequency, when you go to high frequency.
Yes, no.
Okay. So
this is plateau which is determined by fluctuation of phase.
Yes. 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 That's what matters. So you could subtract it.
Yes. Yes, I can subtract, yes.
Yeah. And so it
change slope? I don't know. Why it should change slope? Okay. Yes. 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 Now, what? Yes. It's several curves, different Rayleigh number, of course. Now, to summarize all this data, I'll show you the resulting plot of scaling indexes for all velocity spectra as function of Prandtl. From Prandtl 2700 to 190, and that's different Prandtl number and different Rayleigh number. And you can see that this scaling index going mostly between 2.2 and 2.6, more or less. And that's for it's 2.4 plus minus 0.2. For it's more or less in the range of Valjana-Obuchov scaling, because for, of course, for scaling, Kolmogorov scaling, it's much too high. Therefore, that's the result of these measurements. Now, about the statistics, we also measured statistics for this probability distribution density for different, it's different Rayleigh number, for a different Prandtl number. All of them give us the Gaussian behavior, and that's more or less what we observe. Therefore, that's statistics, and I think that's it. Now I can show you last its measurements for rather high Prandtl number. It's Prandtl number probably about 190, and you can see here together two spectra. It's spectra for velocity, and this spectra for temperature, and cross spectra, which because we measure it's in the, more or less at the same point, and cross spectra gives a value of 185, which also close to the value which should be for Bolzano scaling. That's the cross spectra. And it means that for at least in frequency domain, we obtain the Bolzano scaling, and we didn't see any transition between Bolzano and Kolmogorov, because first of all, it's Prandtl number very high what we measure, then, I don't know, this. It's actually, if you calculate the Bolzano length, it's inside of dissipation length. And we, in velocity, we cannot get even to dissipation length, therefore it's not supposed to be there. Exactly, for this formula, which everybody used. Rayleigh, Nusselt number in 1/2 divided on, I don't know, Prandtl. Of course, there is no in this formula that can be also a coefficient which nobody knows. But, you know, I used what everybody used. Yes, nobody knows, but that's what everybody used. That's what I estimated. But anyway, from estimates that I can get by formula that everybody uses, it should be inside of dissipation length. That's what I can tell. I cannot tell more.
Bolzano length is not the type of dissipation.
Sorry?
Bolzano length. Are you saying Bolzano length is the size of the dissipation?
No, I told that the inside of dissipation length.
Inside of dissipation.
Inside of dissipation in this case of Rayleigh Prandtl. If you calculate this.
Oh, that's right.
That's, yeah. Therefore, to conclude, therefore, the advantage of the system that we have, that we can measure both temperature and velocity, we can measure Prandtl dependence for this fluid, and that actually gives advantage for this system that we can characterize system very well. Now we measure the temperature and velocity on two lines, vertical line, horizontal line, to get information about both velocity fluctuation and global velocity measurements directly from velocity measurements, not from spectra, that, as I told you. And that probably will give much more information about scaling. Okay, thank you. Yes. Yes.
So I thought you were going to take Rayleigh times Nusselt and divide it by Reynolds square or Reynolds cube, as the case might be, and see what that looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, we try to do, you know, now, with our data, with this data that we have, we didn't try very, very careful to do that, because we decided to remeasure this along the line, and to see the maximum for velocity, and then to measure this for maximum velocity and for fluctuations. Because when you measure in some fixed position of quarter, you don't know relation very well between average velocity and fluctuations, and that's actually one of the problem. Now, I don't have this data. I don't have. We try this, but I don't have. Yes. Prandtl number.
Yeah.
No, as I told you, the temperature difference is very small. Therefore, for this temperature difference, the changing in Prandtl number on the order of percent for maximum temperature difference. It's very sensitive. It depends how close the critical point and the distance from critical point relative to the temperature difference. Usually we apply temperature difference smaller or much smaller than the closeness to critical point. And then you don't have this strong dependence. That's what I'm telling. Now, if you have 10 minus 3 closeness to critical point, it means that you are close to critical point about 100 millik, not 100, it's 300 millik. And the temperature difference in this case that you apply is below 100 millik. That's what I'm telling. Yes?
Can you put the spectrum in the last question slide after one that you have Prandtl numbers and ground points? I don't know if I can see.
What plot? Sorry?
Exponents of
the. Exponents. This?
Yeah. It could be that higher Prandtl numbers were higher.
No, it's scatter. No, it's scatter. It's scatter. Yes.
The question I have is about your velocity measurement. You mentioned that there's a critical boxes, which is basically a phase boxes. If there's no internal dynamics,
that is the only thing that's the most important. What do you mean internal dynamics?
The one you mentioned, the critical boxes.
Yes.
So I just wonder, that equilibrium, in a convection you also get a very strong temperature boxes, that would give you a additional fluctuation in the gathering. So all that seems to me the temperature boxes would also contribute.
Yes. You mean the temperature fluctuation which not coupled with velocity?
We don't know. We got everything.
Yes.
I'm talking about the vacuum. Now, you mentioned that in the equilibrium there's no power vacuum is flat. Right?
Because it's random, yeah.
I'm talking about.
Yes, yes, I understand. Part. Yes.
Therefore, near the critical point, it will need a very sensitive.
Do
you have
to comment
on this?
No, I don't know.
No, this is a temperature property in the same frequency range.
Yes, it's not decoupled.
More interesting is that there's an exact solution to the problem, which means
Yes, that's right. That's yes, yes.
I think we're starting to get. I think we're starting to get into private conversations in the back. Are there any more questions directed at the speaker right now? Or else we can just break for lunch. Okay. Thank you.